Tiki Barber is our NFL insider, three-time Pro Bowler, the Buffalo Bills, much like Lucy with the football. That's what they do to their fans. They hold it there, and just when you think everything is okay, they pull it away. Tiki, they beat good teams. Denver, when we thought they were good. Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Oakland, and now they've lost back-to-back, and they haven't looked good in them. Is this a lull, or is this like the end of the road for this season?
Well, I think, look, they traded Marcell Dareus. Remember that a couple weeks ago? And, you know, we thought it was more of what the Bills were doing to, I guess, solidify the right kind of people around McDermott and have, you know, his kind of guys there who are going to buy in and not complain. You know, you get these wily vets who, you know, I don't know, talk behind the coaches. You don't want those guys, right? So you get rid of them. The problem is, you didn't play the New Orleans Saints, and you give up a ton of rushing yards and touchdowns. 300 yards on the ground last week. They gave up 200 yards last weekend to the Jets in that loss. And so there, something changed interiorly to that in that defense, and you'd have to point directly to that. At the end of the day, though, this was not about the Buffalo Bills. This is about the momentum that the Saints have started to build and the ability to execute on all phases of their offense. More importantly, their defense, which we thought was going to be much of the same after the first two losses of their season. This is New Orleans now. They lost to the Minnesota Vikings, and Sam Bradford had that ridiculous day. Then they played the Patriots and got blown out by them, gave up 36 points. If you take those two outliers, I'll say, out, this New Orleans Saints defense is top five in the National Football League. Now, if you keep those two outliers in, they're still top 10. So their defense, the Saints defense, has started to play serious football, and you couple that with an offense that is predicated on the run, it feels old school, right? When did we ever think we'd say a Sean Payton led offense would be, you know, quote unquote, old school, running the ball and playing great defense?
Tiki Barber, our guest, 806. You make the great point about the Saints, and I'll tell you what sometimes is tricky, and I don't know how you feel about it, but the turnover ratio, yes, you're going to win more games if you don't turn the ball over, but they don't feel fluky about this. They have two interceptions as a team in nine. That's remarkable. They have only the two picks in nine games, so they're doing it quite legitimately. They're stopping teams on third down, Tiki, and kicking them off the field and making them look bad doing it. They're not fluking this by a bunch of tipped balls or recovered fumbles. They are legit. Marshawn Lattimore, he should be rookie of the year. There's not an offensive rookie that's had the impact he's had at the cornerback position.
I mean, I would have said Leonard Fournette, but his suspension last week kind of soured you on him a little bit. His carries are going elsewhere. But you're right. Marshawn Lattimore has been amazing. Kenny Vaccaro has been fantastic. Cam Jordan and DN has seven sacks on the year. I mean, you're absolutely right. You nail it on the head. There's something changed. I mean, remember the whole Rex Ryan years down there, and even before that, Spagnuolo, who was only there for a season. It felt like they could never find the right schemes, right, or get everyone on the right page. So you got to give a ton of credit to their defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, who's been absolutely amazing and just scheming, right? And it's simple. They aren't doing anything, you know, outwardly special and inverting coverages and running guys down and running guys. They're not doing any of that stuff. Just lining up and playing defense and stopping guys one-on-one. And when you do that and you control the time possession like they have been because of their run game, then you're going to win a football game more than you're not.
Tiki, I don't know anyone that wouldn't give the Patriots being the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl this year, but I want to talk about the team on the other side of the ball last night. I wonder, do players ever give up, or they go, there's nothing that we can do that's going to change an outcome of something, and they don't, like, purposefully. But, I mean, the Broncos are supposed to have a Super Bowl-worthy defense, and they're getting scored on left and right. Is it possible they look at the offense and they go, it doesn't matter what we do?
Man, I thought you were talking about the Giants for a second.
Oh.
which is a completely different story. But you know what? I can't say that yet, but I can say that there is a lot of discouragement. Now, last night in this New England game, it wasn't, and as much as it was about the defense because they gave up a ton of points, it wasn't about the defense. They gave up a kick return. They had a punt blocked. They had a punt muffed. And so you're giving Tom Brady, of all people, all right, Tom, you got to score. You got to go 30 yards to score a touchdown. You know, good luck. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to score a touchdown. And so when you're special teams, as much as we'll look at the score and say, man, their defense must have just got obliterated, giving up 41 points to Tom Brady, it was the third phase of the game that we don't often talk about that let the Denver Broncos down last night. Now, they didn't do anything offensively, and Brock Osweiler, obviously, is not the real answer, even though he is connected with Emmanuel Sanders. Seemed like they could do that all night. They just weren't scoring any points. This was all about special teams. This was all about guys not taking that function of the game seriously. And against a really good team like the Pats, they're going to take advantage. They're going to destroy you.
Can you visualize right now a team beating the Patriots in the playoffs? And if so, who? Even Pittsburgh, right? Like, it was 33-7. No, it was 33-7 after three quarters last year in the AFC title game. And we think, well, New England actually looks sharper than they did at this point last season. And Big Ben's a year older. Yeah. So why would they suddenly be able to pull it off, right?
I guess the only team that I would have said, there's two that I would think about, even though I don't know if I could convince myself that they could actually do it. I'd say Jacksonville because of how amazing their defense is playing. But I don't trust Blake Bortles anymore. Up until this week, I said, well, Blake is turning the corner, right? He's turning into a decent – he's not. He's still the same Blake Bortles that we always knew, even though they won the game in crunch time and they pulled it out at the end. His two interceptions and just inefficiency are a liability. I would have said Kansas City only because of what happened in week one where they scored 42 points on them. But Kansas City over the last – I don't know, two or three weeks, they're not running the ball very effectively, and they're turning the ball over, which is something they've never done. So right now in the AFC, it's the Pats. As much as we wanted to, two, three, even before then, say the tide is changing a little bit, the king has fallen, the Pats are right back where they always are. Their defense is playing fantastic, again, giving up less than 20 points a game over the last six. Their offense has always been fantastic this season. I don't know a team in the AFC that can beat them. I think there's a couple in the NFC. I think the Eagles would have a shot, maybe even the Saints with how good they're playing offensively and defensively, as we just detailed. But right now, the AFC is the New England Patriots once again.
Do the Green Bay Packers start believing, or does everybody else start believing in Brett Hundley a little bit more? You look at his quarterback rating, terrible in his first couple of games, 86 last week, 110 yesterday, didn't make any mistakes, only had 7 incompletions, no interceptions, and Green Bay wins against a tough defensive team in the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I don't know if it's believing in Brett Hundley. It is saying we have at least a bridge until Aaron Rodgers comes back, likely until into next year. But you got to feel for the kid. This is only his third start this season. And as much as, we want to believe that Green Bay is a good team, Green Bay has always been – their deficiencies have always been masked by Aaron Rodgers, because when their defense plays terrible, he picks them up and finds a way to go score and even it. And when their offense is off, dropping passes, he does it with his legs or finds ways to create plays offensively. It's unfair to ask Brett Hundley to be that guy. And finally getting a shot to just grow a little bit, I think we're seeing what Mike McCarthy was talking about. And so we don't need to bring someone in. We have Brett. We put time into Brett. And I think as the season goes on, he'll develop into a good backup, right? This is the experience that he needs. I don't think he has that magic that's often needed in Green Bay because of some of their defensive deficiencies. But you give him credit for what he did yesterday, because you're right, Chicago, despite their record, they do play really good defense. And Mitch Trubisky, despite not having an enormous day, he actually had a pretty good day. So it's a good win for New England, or good win for Green Bay, because it was easy to start getting discouraged about the rest of this season if they had lost another one.
So let's just see how much really good running back love you give really good running from one really good running back to another, Ezekiel Elliott. In his absence, the Cowboys did a lot of things wrong, and it's not like, hey, he couldn't have played linebacker yesterday and stopped Atlanta's run game, even after Freeman was knocked out. Yep. But did the loss of him, the finality of what seems like, okay, Now we got to do without him for a month. Do you think that affected the team as a whole or just Dallas's running game, Tiki?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at Dallas's run game, you'll say, hey, they rushed for over 100 yards. I mean, they, it's not like they were grossly inefficient. Now, some of that came from Dak Prescott, who had 40 or so yards on the ground and a touchdown himself. But what you miss with Ezekiel Elliott is big plays, right? And he's not like Tariq Cohen, right? He's not getting a football and, you know, blazing and slicing and dicing and making guys miss and making these spectacular touchdowns. But he has a unique ability to just lay into people, break tackles, and go for 25 yards, or catch a screen pass like he did 2 weeks ago, and go 70 something yards for a touchdown. Right, that big playability is what was missing without Ezekiel Elliott in the offense. And Alfred Morris, you know, did his best. He actually averaged pretty well, almost 5 yards a carry, I think. But there's no specialness about Alfred Morris compared to Zeke Elliott. The bigger thing is that without them being able to run the ball consistently like that, Dak Prescott had to drop back and throw the ball probably more times than they wanted to. And Adrian Claiborne just went bonkers on him. I mean, he had six sacks, and it's five or six. I think he had six sacks in this game. And it just completely disrupted anything that they would have could have thought of doing on the Atlanta side, on the Cowboys side. So, you know, when you can't run the ball like you're used to, and you're forced to start doing things in your passing game that you're maybe just not as comfortable with, and then you have Adrian Claiborne getting six sacks, it disrupts everything that you had going. And so, yes, they miss Zeke, but it's more about his big playability and the ability not to have to run the ball or not have to throw the ball as much as they did yesterday.